Welcome back, everybody. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez. You're listening to Bible Line, and you're actually on the audio exclusive episode uploaded every Wednesday at 3 p.m. called Real Talk, where we talk all things faith and practice. But we have a ton of content for you. Check it out on YouTube. Check it out on anywhere you get your podcasts. But this episode, Real Talk, is only available on our audio upload sites like the podcast. So make sure that you're following there and you can stay in the loop. I want to kind of cap off what we were talking about last week about Ask Jesus in Your Heart, because I came across a website recently that emailed me and said, hey, we've added you to our church locator, and we like that you teach the gospel clearly, that you are not Calvinist, that you are dispensational in your approach to the scripture, that you are not replacement theology. And so that those are really the three qualifiers to get on this church tracker. So I started looking around because I thought, well, man, if they're using that kind of analysis, maybe I can find some like-minded churches in the area that teach salvation by faith alone in Christ alone. So I started looking, and it didn't take long until I found churches that they get the gospel right in the beginning, but then they add on several things towards the end. Okay, so I'm going to read to you. I'm not going to tell you this website because it's not my intent to, do that. But I just want you to hear the language and hear how it happens, okay? So they have a section on their website called Salvation. So let's read along and we'll do some live commentary, okay? Salvation. In the Bible, we are taught that we are created. God created us to have a relationship with him, but Adam, our first father, disobeyed God's law. Because he did, we inherited his sin. Now there is a divide between God and man. Okay, so far so good. Eve was the first one to sin, but yes, Adam disobeyed as well. And that caused a break in the fellowship, and we were separated from God. We spiritually died that day. All right, back to them. The Bible teaches that God is perfectly righteous, and therefore, like a judge, he must convict those who are guilty of breaking his laws. Imagine looking at a person through a pane of glass. If the glass has mud all over it, you don't see the beauty of that person. You see the mud. This is what it's like when God looks at us. He sees our sins, and because he is perfectly holy, he cannot accept us this way. Instead, he must judge our sins. However, Jesus came and lived the perfect life that Adam didn't. He repaired the divide. It is by faith in what God has done through Jesus Christ, the God-man, that we are restored to a right relationship with God. Jesus took all the sin and judgment that each of us deserves and was crucified on a cross. In that moment, he became our sin and our guilt. And they quote some verses here, Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. They also quote Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, here's where they get into their points. And there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 things that a person must understand and then do to be saved. So let's take a look. 7, actually, excuse me. First thing, the Bible tells us that because we have a sin nature, we are unrighteous in God's sight. So first, don't look to your own goodness to save you, okay? I would say not of works, lest any man should boast. Of course, Ephesians 2:9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. The second thing is, they say, we have all sin in our hearts. It's our very nature to sin. We all are born with this sin, and without Jesus, we are under the power of sin's control. So number 2, admit that you are a sinner. And they quote, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 6:23. And they're not quoting KJV. So if as I'm reading this directly from their website, if you go, that doesn't sound like I know it. If you're a KJV reader, that's because this is not KJV. I'm not sure what this is. So they say, don't look to your own goodness to save you. Admit that you're a sinner. Now, I think that is a part of something that a person has to understand, that, you know, understanding you're a sinner brings about the reality that you have sin that needs to be paid for, and the wages of that sin is death. And this is why Jesus had to die in your place, and why you have to believe on him, because he pays for your sin that separates you from God, okay? I don't think there are people who are out there existing who have put their trust in Jesus Christ but deny that they're a sinner. So yeah, admit you're a sinner. Okay. Sin results in death. I'm quoting their article again. Sin results in death, and we all face physical death, the result of sin. But worse is our spiritually dead condition that has alienated us from God. Unless we're reborn, it will last for all eternity. Now, reborn is what we see when Jesus is teaching to Nicodemus. You must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And then we have John 3:16 there that says how that happens. A person believes on Jesus Christ, believes on whosoever believeth. All right, stay with me now. Back to their article. Quote, the Bible clearly teaches that there is a place called the lake of fire or hell where lost people will be destroyed. It is the place where people who are spiritually dead will remain. Okay, so they say, don't look to your own goodness to save you. Admit that you're a sinner. Understand that you deserve death for your sin. And then they say, however, salvation is a gift from God to you. You can't earn this gift. Instead, you must reach out and receive it. Now, I know this sounds like splitting hairs, but when I see reach out, I want to know what they mean by that. And they kind of answer the question. And this is what they say. Ask God to forgive you and save you. Do you have to do that to be saved? I don't think so. I don't think you have to ask God to forgive you and save you for him to save you. Because it says in the Bible, you just need to believe. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I don't think you have to ask. I don't know why that's a stipulation that they put on there. They don't give any scriptural reference for it. I don't see any support for it in this article. They quote Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Back to their article, they say, when Jesus died on the cross, he paid the penalty for our sin, all our sin. He bought us out of slavery to sin and death. The only requirement on our part is that we believe in him and what he has done for us, understanding that we are given new life through him and that he is our life. Okay. They've got it clear there. The only requirement on our part is that we believe in him, but I see where they use Romans 5:8. And they speak about the death of Christ. But yes, that sounds clear. But it gets a little worse. Okay? He did all this because he loved us and gave himself for us. The next thing that they say, they've said, don't look to your own goodness to save you. Admit that you're a sinner. Understand that you deserve death for your sin. Ask God to forgive you and save you. Then accept the gift. His love alone saves you, not religion, church membership, or family heritage. God loves you, and the gift is waiting. And then they say, for whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, Romans 10:13. And this is what they say, do it today. Make it known that you are standing for Christ in the gospel. Call out to God in the name of Jesus. The term justification as used in the Bible is a legal term. When you call on Jesus, you stand righteous in God's eyes. You can never stand condemned again because Christ's perfect righteousness has now been given to you. Every sin you have ever committed or ever will commit is now covered by the precious blood of the spotless Lamb of God. There's great stuff in there, but that doesn't happen by calling. A person does not call on the name of the Lord and then they receive justification. They have to believe. And I don't believe those things are the same. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're justified by faith in Christ. Verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace where we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Romans chapter 4, specifically in verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So calling on the name of the Lord is something different. I think that's in context there. The Jew calls on the name of the Lord to show that what they have done is a product of what they have believed. They believed in their heart, and then they make it known with their mouth. That's not where they're saved from hell. Maybe physical deliverance is in context there, but I see very clearly in Romans 4:4 or in Romans 4:5 that when you believe, you're justified. So the website, and I know it's like, Jesse, you're splitting hairs, but they have very clearly said you have to call out to God in the name of Jesus to be saved. You have to accept the gift. You have to believe in him. You have to ask God to forgive you and save you. Then they quote Isaiah 52, and they, oh, it's very lengthy. I think they have the whole thing in there. But then they say this at the very end. If you've never committed your life, soul, and eternal destiny to Jesus, then do it now. Turn to God through Jesus, and he will give you a new heart and a new direction, which will be your peace. And this is what they quote that they want you to say in order to be saved. God, I know I'm a sinner, I'm lost, and I need to be saved. I know I can't save myself, so right now, once and for all, I trust you to save me. Come into my heart, forgive my sin, make me your child. I give you my life. I will live for you as long as you give me strength. Oy vey. I mean, I look at that and it's not clear. There is an aspect that is clear. I trust you to save me. I would rather lead a person in a prayer of thanks. I would not lead them in a prayer and expect my prayer, which they repeat, to make sense to them. I would ask them without praying. I would say, do you understand that what Jesus Christ did on the cross was to pay for all of your sin, past, present, and future? And if they say, yes, I understand that, I say, great. Will you trust in Jesus Christ? Will you rely on what he did to pay for your sin, to be a payment for your sin? And if they say yes, then biblically, I know they have just placed their faith in Jesus Christ. They're passed from death unto life. They'll never be brought into condemnation again. They stand justified before God. They have eternal life now. They didn't pray a prayer. They did not ask for Jesus to, quote, as this says, come into their heart, forgive them of their sin, and make them their his child. They did not ask for him to give them life. They did not also make a promise that they will live for him. A lot of that stuff, come into my heart, we talked about that last week. It ain't in the Bible. We shouldn't talk about it. It's not in the Bible. Forgive my sin. Well, you're already forgiven of sin if you've put your trust in Jesus Christ. Make me your child. That's a byproduct of trusting in Christ. I give you my life. This is a discipleship decision. This is a progressive sanctification decision. It should not be something that a person does as a condition for eternal life, because you know what's going to happen? They're a baby in Christ. They got to learn to walk with the Lord. They're going to be on milk before they get on meat. They're going to make mistakes before they have sustained success, if they ever do, if they don't come out of their carnality. When you tell a person, I give my life, or you need to give your life, they're looking at, my salvation is dependent upon how much I yield my life. And that is not biblical. Salvation occurs the moment of belief, not the moment of giving your life. And the last one here, I will live for you as you give me strength. Again, a condition. I'm trusting in you as long as I live, I'm going to live for you. That's how I know I'm saved, because I committed my life to Christ. That takes the focus off of Jesus and puts it onto the individual. So, you know, I think stuff like this is dangerous. And I think this is why you really need to read what a church believes. Because this website here that I'm on is being pushed by a church locator program. And I'm sure that they probably give the gospel correct sometimes. But what they have written here is not correct. Let's look at the conditions again. Ask God to forgive and save you. Call upon the name of the Lord. Oh, I didn't read this one. Here's another quote. You know God is knocking on your heart's door, so ask him to come into your heart. Believe in your heart and confess it with your mouth. Okay. They have used the word believe. They have used the word accept. They have used the word trust. But they have also used language that does not lead to clarity or any biblical support. Here's the culmination. If you've never committed your life, soul, and eternal destiny to Jesus Christ, then do it now. Turn to God through Jesus, and he will give you a new heart and a new direction, which will be your peace. That does not lend to clarity. Turn to God through Jesus. I don't know what that means. If I'm a lost person, I don't understand what that means. And I think that the person who says that would have a very hard time breaking that down simply. That's why I like John 5:24, y'all. That's a good one. Why, Pastor? Let me read it to you. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. This is great. Why is it great? Because it's simple and clear. You believe on him that sent me, you have everlasting life. Shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You just believe on Jesus, you get everlasting life. Are there any other ones that are that clear? Yeah, there's a lot more. One of my favorites is John 7:37 through 39. Quote, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. 39, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. You believe, you get the Holy Spirit. You're sealed into the day of redemption, as it says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Nothing here about, quote, from the website, commit your life, soul, and eternity to Jesus. Nothing about turning to God through Jesus, asking for a new heart and a new direction. Nothing about coming into my heart, asking for forgiveness of sins, or asking to be made a child. Nothing about giving your life. Nothing about promising to live. And then they close with this. If you took the time to accept Jesus, you may now shout, woohoo, I'm saved by the precious blood of the Lamb. I rejoice with you, and I'll see you in his presence some glorious day. If a person took what you wrote literally, they have now put a yoke about their neck. They have put a yoke about their neck, because their salvation is determined about how well they have given their life and if that God will give them strength to finish it. Their salvation is dependent upon they ask Jesus to come into their heart, forgive them of their sin, and make them his child. Come on, guys. Let's be biblical. Believe. Trust. That's it. Asking Jesus to come into your heart, you can't do it. It's not something that's ever in the Bible. You shouldn't talk about it. Forgiveness of sins. Acts 13 tells us that if you believe, your sin is forgiven. Bear with me a moment while I pull that up, because that's a good one, man. I love that one. Especially when people say you have to ask for forgiveness of sins. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Acts 13:38, verse 39. And by him, all that ask him to come into their heart? No. All that ask him to forgive their sins? No. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. I like it. I like the Bible. I love it so much, because it makes these other phrases, these turn of phrases, it just shoots them down for what they are. They're not true. So you need to watch out for that. I would always encourage you, if you're looking for a church, and I know many of you are, if you're looking for a church, check out their About Us, and don't just look for the statement of faith, because a lot of people just copy and paste the statement of faith. Look for a how to go to heaven, I'm new to Christianity, salvation, something like that. And if you don't see one, write the pastor and ask the pastor, hey, I'm looking to find churches, and I'm just curious. How would you tell a lost person, how would you share the gospel with a person that does not know they're going to heaven? Share with the gospel with me. What is the gospel? How does a person know they have eternal life? Ask a question like that and see what they say. I got a friend of mine. He's become one of my very good friends. And he said that he would write pastors in Asheville, and he would ask them to meet over coffee or just a meeting about the gospel, and pastors would not even write back. It's just crazy. I think there's a lot of people that have churches and they're preaching in pulpits, but they can't even give the gospel clearly, and I wonder if they're saved themselves. So let's be simple. Let's be clear. And let's be loud enough for all to hear. How about that? Put that on a t-shirt. Maybe we will. This has been Real Talk. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez. You're listening to the channel Bible Line, but this is the audio exclusive that posts every Wednesday at 3 p.m. where we talk all things faith and practice. Keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Not tune, soon. I'll see you next week. God bless. If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.